Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Jagacharya Astu Darasata Sri Sriman. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Raj Granth Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Nithai Gaura Premanandi. Glories to the Asamu devotees, all glories to the Asamu devotees, glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Of the reading from Sri Shiksamrita, Srila Prabhupada's letters on different subject matters. This is Bhakti Vedanta Trust, the press. This letter is to Advaita, 19th of November, 1969. I'm very sorry to learn that our press is lying idle, and your remark in this connection that we have purchased a cart before the horse is appropriate. I have immediately asked Aravinda from Los Angeles to go there for doing layout work. I have also asked Pradyumna why the composition work is going so slowly. I have received one letter from Satsarup also in this connection. So all the composition and layout work must be centralized in the press. For editing, already Satsarup is there, and Hayagriva will send his editorial matters without any delay. The actual difficulty is composing and layout. Satsarup informs me that there is a girl, Palika Dasi, who is a good typist, and Satsarup also agrees to purchase another machine. So if possible, immediately purchase this composing machine and begin the composing work for Krishna. Jayadvaita is also there, and Aravinda will help in layout work. So far as the press lying idle, I would advise you to immediately print the paperback edition. Originally, you were going to print this, and I do not know why this program was canceled. After this is done, you can reprint the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, because there is a need for more copies of this volume. So I do not know why the press is sitting idly, and why the proposal for printing Teachings of Lord Chaitanya in soft cover edition is put aside. Also, you mentioned that there is some lack of management, but I do not know why this should be, since Brahmananda, yourself, and others are there. Please inform me of the cost for reprinting Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. End of letter. This is to Advaita again, the 23rd of November. The thing is that you have asked me so many questions, but it's not possible for me to manage all departments of our society. Practically, you are in charge of the press department, but it is better to form immediately one press committee consisting of you, Satsvarup, Brahmananda, and whoever else you like, and do it nicely. How things should be done, I have given you suggestion, but it's not possible for me to divert my attention. Then my real work will suffer. I have written a letter to Pradyumna, but there is no reply as of yet. Anyway, from the practical point of view, it appears with the others you arrange for other means. I have also advised Satsvarup in this connection. If Srimad Chandan Acharya is busy in some other work, then Aravinda can wholly be engaged in Boston layout work. I have already asked him to go there. I have also noted down the lawyer's instructions that outside work can be taken if the profit does not go to some individual person. I think if it is legally possible, this is all right. I have no objection if you make some profit on outside work. That is very nice. My only point is that we have got our press for printing our own literature more and more. We should not miss this point. Otherwise, combinedly, together, do it nicely. I shall very be much pleased to see things are going correctly. So this is a letter to Brahmananda, the 25th of November. Regarding press management, I have already informed Advaita that you should immediately form a press committee composing of yourself, Satsvarup, Advaita, etc., and manage things carefully and nicely. When we have got our press, we must properly use it, always praying for Krishna's grace. I do not think Satsvarup can be overburdened with any further work. He is working outside, editing also, and looking after other business. But combinedly, you can do it very nicely. Also, the New York Center must be entirely under your vigilance. So these are some more of Srila Prabhupada's detailed instructions on how he wanted his devotees to proceed in carrying out the activities, and particularly here, of printing books and arranging organizations in order to effectively do this nicely. Again, we see how Srila Prabhupada was very much involved with the details of the management, not as far as carrying out the management, but as far as giving very clear and very broad instructions about how to take care of things. One of the things that Srila Prabhupada wanted was that devotees to take on responsibilities in pushing Krishna consciousness on. As we progress in our spiritual life, we're asked by the Lord and the Lord's representative to take on more responsibilities. Responsibility is given as an opportunity to increase one's devotional service to Krishna, and it's also an opportunity to please the spiritual master and to please the Lord, which is the essence of our devotional activity. So we see here how Srila Prabhupada, he instructing his senior devotees, he wanted everything to be done very, very nicely. Sometimes people say that, you know, it's a spiritual movement, but spiritual movement means doing everything in the nicest possible way for Krishna. Because the idea is that bhakti means devotion, and devotion means we try to do things as nice as possible. And that quality of our activity is an expression of one's devotion. And of course, quality of activity is dependent on concentration on the activity. So keeping concentration depends on keeping ourselves fixed in our sadhana nicely. Because when the mind is carefully purified through the hearing and chanting process, then our consciousness can nicely focus on our devotional activities throughout the day. So all these things are interrelated in performing devotional service. But the expression of our devotion is to try to do things as nice as possible, because it's for Krishna. And Krishna is the object of our devotion. So in devotion, the idea is to do it as nice as possible. Okay. Any questions, comments on anything? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 24th chapter, 38th verse. This is Matsya, the Lord's fish incarnation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mariam Marimanam Cha Aram Brahmeti Sabditam Vaityasya Anugrihitam Me Samprasnayar Vivritam Pridi Mariam Mahimanam Cha Aram Brahmeti Sabditam Vatsyasyanugrihitam He Samprasna Vivritam Ridi. What is that melody or tune for chanting this? Can someone remember the exact? It slips my mind every time. Does anyone know? Huh? poem, Mariam Manimanam Cha. Param Brahmeti Sabditam. Vachyasyanugrihitam He. Samprasnaya Vivitam Ridhi. Mariam Mahimanam Cha. Param Brahmeti Sabditam. Vachyasyanugrihitam He. Samprasnaya Vivitam Ridhi. Mariam, pertaining to me, Mahimanam, glories, Cha, and Param Brahma, the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth, Iti, thus, Sabditam, celebrated. Vetyasi, you shall understand. Anugrihitam, being favored. Me, by me. Samprasnai, by inquiries. Vivitam, thoroughly explained. Ridhi, within the heart. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You will be thoroughly advised and favored by me. And because of your inquiries, everything about my glories, which are known as Param Brahma, will be manifest within your heart. Thus you will know everything about me. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasyachaham Ridisani Visto Matatsmitya Gyanam Apoanam Cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, is situated in everyone's heart, and from Him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord reveals Himself in proportion to one's surrender to Him. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajami aham. In responsive cooperation, the Lord reveals Himself in proportion to one's surrender. That which is revealed to one who fully surrenders is different from what is revealed to one who surrenders partially. Everyone naturally surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either directly or indirectly. The conditioned soul surrenders to the laws of nature in material existence. But when one fully surrenders to the Lord, material nature does not act upon him. Such a fully surrendered soul is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. One who has fully surrendered to the Lord has no fear of the modes of material nature, for everything is but an expansion of the Lord's glories. Sarvam kalam vidam brahma. And these glories are gradually revealed and realized. The Lord is the Supreme Purifier, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. The more one is purified, and the more he wants to know about the Supreme, the more the Lord reveals to him. Full knowledge of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan is revealed to the pure devotees. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:11, Tesham evanukam partam aham magyana jam tamaha nasyayam yatma bhavasto jnana dipena basvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Translation of Gen. You will be thoroughly advised and favored by me. And because of your inquiries, everything about my glories, which are known as Param Brahma, will be manifest within your heart. Thus you will know everything about me. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadatikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the process of devotional life is to know Krishna and eventually to love Krishna. And that knowing Krishna and loving Krishna depends on how much the living entity surrenders to the will of the Lord. And that is the sum and substance of one's perfection in spiritual life. The process of devotional service is a process of surrendering to the Lord. And as the soul surrenders more and more, the Lord gives that person more protection, more knowledge, and ultimately more association with himself. Here we find Satyavrata Muni. It's amazing. The Lord came to him in a most unusual way as a little tiny fish who seemed to be in distress because of being overwhelmed by bodies of water that were much bigger. And each time Satyavrata Muni had a request from the fish to give him a bigger place, he found that it was always inadequate because the fish kept expanding more and more. So in one sense, the Lord was not dealing with him very directly. It was kind of just testing him and kind of tricking him in one way. Finally, after completely exhausting all possibilities of finding an adequate place for this fish to dwell, the fish had gotten so big that even a lake was too small for the fish. So he threw him into the ocean, ultimately. Then the Lord revealed himself. But in all cases, Satyavrata Muni simply followed the instructions of the Lord. And this is pretty much the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. We come to spiritual life with so many attachments due to our association with material energy. We come to material life, spiritual life, with so many misconceptions about what is spiritual life. We come to spiritual life with material consciousness in the sense that we sometimes see it as a process of, in a material way. All these things have to be removed, and all these things are ultimately blocking our relationship with the Lord. So the process of surrender is both grossly and subtly. Grossly, by following the instructions in a practical way, and in a more subtle way, trying to understand with our intelligence how to execute Krishna consciousness in a way that will be conducive to understanding and serving the Lord. This is devotional service. So Krishna says here, Prabhupada says here, quoting the fourth chapter in Bhagavad Gita, as you surrender, I reward you accordingly. The process is surrender. And Krishna says in the same verse, everyone follows my path in all respects. How is it possible that everyone can follow Krishna's path in all respects? The actual understanding is both materially and spiritually, there is ultimately it's the arrangement of the Lord. The material energy is Krishna's energy. Daivyesha gunamaye mamamaya daratyaya. That this material energy, he says, is daivi. It's my energy. It's under my control through my different agencies. Prasya Shakti Virahaya Suyate Svabhaviti Jnana Balakriya Cha. All of Krishna's potencies are acting in sequence perfectly, carrying out all His will. They're giving Him knowledge, power, and pastime activities. So everything, both materially and spiritually, are being done by His, either directly through Him or through His different energies. So there's nothing outside of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even the materialists who are in the material world trying to enjoy matter through the gross senses are following Krishna's path. But it's not the direct path. It's the path of defeat. It's the path of illusion, the path of misconception, the path of ultimately frustration, and ultimately the path of death. That is the material energy. No one is successful in material life. Even if one is somehow successful by material standards, everything is taken away by death. And in the meantime, there is disease, there is old age, and there are so many disappointments. So material life ultimately is Krishna's path, but it's a path that allows one to get beaten constantly until one wakes up to the reality of the frustrated attempts to enjoy material energy. Material energy is worked in such a way as to simply beat the living entity constantly until they just cannot take it anymore. Finally they come, "My dear Lord, save me." Of course, sometimes it takes many, many births, hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of births to come to that realization because of the attachment that the living entity has for the material energy. Mitche mayra vese kachyoha vabhubhubhajiv krishna dase vishma kolana adukanai. That the living entity has been tossed constantly from one situation in this material energy to another. Sometimes in the higher planets, enjoying like a demigod with much facility for material happiness. And then when pious activities runs out, one falls down again to the earth and then lower. And one is forced to take a body, maybe a human being or lower than that, in one of the 8 million species of life. So this is gone. Karanangula sangosho sarasat jame janmasyu. The living entity is meeting happiness and distress constantly in various forms of life. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Like that. It's like Prabhupada compares it to this material energy. Well, Krishna actually compares it to a machine. And we might compare that machine to what they call a merry-go-round. And you've seen at different carnivals. Merry-go-round, right? It just goes round and round, but then you go up and down at the same time. You stay on it, you just keep going around and around. Birth, death, old age, disease, birth, death, old age, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes up, sometimes down. Perfect example of material energy. And we're riding on this machine. As long as we think the ride is the important part of our existence. But somehow, in order to keep the living entity in the illusion that this is actually the goal, sometimes the material energy just gives a little bit of happiness. A little bit of happiness. Somebody gets some gain in their plans for material life, or they find some partner, man or woman, or they find some facility to enjoy for a few moments, a few hours, some nice material arrangements. But it's like a flash within a flash. And we say that this material life is a flash in time. And a little bit of sense enjoyment that we may consider to be happy is a flash within that flash. Maybe it lasts a few moments, a few weeks, or a few years, but it's gone. And somehow or other, the living entity just keeps trying for these little drops of pleasure. Chapala Sukala. It's called Chapala Sukha. Bhajahu Raymana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Vindare. Govinda Das sings in one song that Smarana, what is it? Kirtana Smarana Vandana Parasevana Dasare. What is that song? Kitaraptava Padat Parijana Itiki Jamina Titire Nivanda Jovana Puta Parijana Ninisakira Nahire. That for countless days and nights I've been suffering due to my attachment for sense gratification. And what is this life? He calls it Chapala Sukala. Like a drop and a lotus leaf. Have you ever seen a lotus leaf? A lotus flower? Those of you who have been to the East, you see lotus flowers. But on the lotus flower, there's like a waxy substance. Because the lotus grows in the water, sometimes in the mud. So, but the lotus always stays so nice and fresh because anything that hits the lotus, due to its waxy substance, it just flows off. So water just goes, so everything just glides off the lotus. Nothing can stay on the lotus. It remains pure. So Govinda Das, the author of this song, explains that this is, this drop on the lotus leaf, it just goes, the water hits it and then it flies off. Is the extent of one's life. That's all. This life is like a drop on a lotus leaf. It's here today and it's gone within a few moments. So he says, I've been struggling life after life, day and night, simply trying to satisfy other people. And no one's ever satisfied. You ever had experience? You can find people in this material world, they're always... Even the best relationships we find within families, within friendships, people are trying to satisfy each other. But as hard as you try, there's no satisfaction. There's no satisfaction. People try to satisfy one another. No one's ever, always complaining, there's always some problem. Right? Even husband and wife, children never are happy with what their parents give them. The parents are always expecting more from the children. The wife is always wants more from the husband. The husband is always somewhere, some lack within the wife's service. There's always something. Sometimes you can serve a family or a situation your whole life. And then when you get old, they say, well, what has he done for us? Who cares? You just put him out to the old age home. We don't want to bother with him anymore. We got our life to live, right? In India, it's starting to happen there because they're developing the Western habits. But in the West, it's like that. When people get old, they just want to hide them away. A person might have been working for his family for the whole life, but after a while, just push them aside, push her aside, because they're useless, right? I mean, they can't really contribute anything anymore. It's sense gratification, and they're just... They can't enjoy sense gratification anymore because they're too old. When you get old, you can't enjoy sense gratification. You can engage in it, but it's like an old car, you know. When you have a nice new car, you can go and go fast and turn, you know, everything's just working nicely. But when the car gets old, the radiator overheats, you know, and sometimes it doesn't start. And the battery runs out. And there's so many problems, the transmission. The body's like a machine. After so many years, it gets old, starts to break down. And you try to enjoy material life, and it's just... You know, it's just like trying to run uphill. And so therefore, you know, when you get old, people don't want you around anymore because you're not the life of the party. and you're always sick and you're complaining and you're just, you know. And so the people are, you know, they want to enjoy sense gratification. This is family life. Prabhupada said family life is like an arrangement for thieves. They get together and try to make some deal to enjoy each other's association. So when thieves get together, you know, they're just making some arrangements. You help me in my sense gratification and I'll help you in your sense gratification. Okay, it's a deal. But don't disappoint me now. If you disappoint me, I'll have to find another gang member to replace you. That's what happens, right? After a few years, relationships just fall apart. Or even if it lasts, even in the best relationship, after a while, what happens? People get tired of each other. And if they have some moral spirituality, they just tolerate each other because it's not proper to break up. So they just become friends. Let's be friends. It goes on like that, you know. The rest of your life, you just kind of tolerate each other, you know. And you have it kind of like, after a while, it just separates. One has their program. They live in the same house, you know. Sometimes they see each other maybe for 5 minutes during the day. Oh, how are you? Fine? Good? Yeah. And one's got their life, another one's got their life. And so this is material life. No one's satisfied because why is this like this? Is this hyperbole or some exaggeration? No, because no one is satisfied. Because sense gratification is not the means for happiness. No one can be happy by sense gratification. And as long as a relationship is based on sense gratification, ultimately there will be frustration. You can guarantee it. That's the scriptures. So therefore, material life ultimately always ends in defeat. Always ends in frustration and illusion. And no one's ever satisfied. So finally, when the living entity wakes up and comes to Krishna conscious and starts to engage in devotional service, then they can become satisfied. Then they can become happy. Because ultimately, we're giving up our own desires for sense gratification. Krishna consciousness means to give up desires for sense gratification and to adopt Krishna's desires. That's all. That's what Krishna consciousness means. Not my will, but thine be done. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, the process of surrender is the process of putting our own personal interests aside for the interests of the Lord and for the interests of others. That's all. But you'll find in the ultimate understanding of that statement, putting aside our interests and adopting Krishna's interest is really adopting our real interest, although we don't know it in the conditioned state. We don't know it in the conditioned state. That ultimately, what Krishna is asking us is for us. It's not for him, because Krishna doesn't need anything. So surrender is for our benefit, but it's just like a little child. If you try to intelligently rationalize with a little child about what's good for the child. The child wants to play, the child wants to go here, wants to do this. The child has his own mind. But the mother is there to guide the child and make sure the child does what's best for the child. The mother's okay, she doesn't need anything, but she wants to help the child. But the child doesn't know what's good, so the mother uses different tricks, punishments, whatever it takes to bring the child to accept its best interests. So in the same way, Krishna is doing whatever he can to help us to surrender. So we have to somehow or other beware of how to surrender in Krishna consciousness. And surrender simply means to follow the process very, very sincerely and very seriously. Very serious. Chant every day, carefully, 16 rounds. follow the process, attend the morning programs, and wholeheartedly participate in the programs. If you're in the programs, but you're not participating, in the same way, in one sense, you're really not here. You may be here to some degree, but really, participation means to take part in the programs. In our devotional life throughout the day, perform our service with great attention, with devotion, and with a desire to please the Lord. And gradually, Krishna reveals himself. You get knowledge of Krishna, you get freedom from the effects of the material energy. We don't have to worry about protecting ourselves. We don't have to worry about making arrangements to make our, to keep our body and soul together. It's not necessary. All we have to do is engage in devotional service. Krishna says, "Kunti apratijanihi nami bhakti pranashyati." If you just say, "I give you all protection, you just engage in my service. I do everything else. Don't worry about it." We don't have any, a devotee really has no concern but how to serve Krishna, that's all. How to surrender to Krishna more and more. So that's our mindset, how to surrender more and more. And that's the process of devotional service. That is the process of bhakti yoga. So Prabhupada says here that the process is surrender when Krishna reveals himself more and more. He says for one who is partially surrendered, they're experiencing that, and the one who is fully surrendered, they're experiencing Krishna more. So everyone is getting a taste of Krishna, but according to your surrender, that is how much Krishna is revealing themselves to you. So that is the mindset, how to surrender more and more. And of course, surrender means we have to have an eagerness. We see sometimes, there's one beautiful story, that even in a negative way, we find that when that negativity is connected with Krishna, it has nice results. There's one story where there was one thief. He was listening to Bhagavatam being recited. And he was hearing the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was a professional thief. In India, you find people who are professional thieves. Take up occupations of being a thief. Right? Isn't that true? I mean, you know, you don't have so many occupations like they do in the West. Oh, to be a thief is a profession. To be a prostitute is a profession. So his man was a professional thief. So in the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, he was hearing about the beautiful descriptions of Lord Sri Krishna's personal form. And as the descriptions were being narrated, the narrator was talking about, well, Krishna wears beautiful yellow garments, and he has a peacock feather in his hair, and he has so many wonderful jewels, Kustabhamani jewel, decorated with so many pearls and jewels and bangles and bracelets and earrings and so many nice things. So he's thinking, wow, this is the perfection of my occupation. If I can find this person, I can rob him. Why, and then I'll be rich and I can retire. So, and then he learned that Krishna was in Vrindavan. So he was determined. He was going to find Krishna. And he was thinking, this is it. I have to find this person and rob him. So he looked, finally got to Vrindavan. He was searching and searching and searching, and finally he came across Krishna. And it matched the description which he heard from the narration. And he said, oh, and he realized, oh, okay. And he said, oh, my dear little cowherd boy, here are some nice sweets for you. And, Krishna said, thank you very much. And he starts speaking very nicely to Krishna. He said, you know, you have these very nice jewels and so many nice things. Can you give them to me? You know, he was a little bit humble. So Krishna said, well, if I give them to you, my mother will get mad, because she gives me all these nice jewels every day to wear, and if I give them away, she will not be happy, so I can't give them to you. But my mother will become very mad. So he was really overcome by the beauty of Krishna, that just by the association of the Lord, gradually, and of course the Lord's charm, gradually he gave up his tendency to steal and actually was attracted to Krishna in devotional service. And he actually became a devotee of the Lord. So this story shows that actually, that even a thief or someone who has ill motives, if they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they get some purification. They get some freedom from that ill motivation. But the intensity of one's desire is, makes the difference. Putana witch, she wanted to kill Krishna. And she changed her form. She was into a beautiful young lady. And she approached Krishna to offer her breast nipple, which was smeared with deadly powerful poison. But Krishna accepted that offering as if she was his mother. And, of course, he sucked out her life air, and ultimately she died. But she got, as explained, liberation on the same level as Mother Yasoda. She got the same position as Mother Yasoda in the spiritual world. And it's explained by the Acharyas that she went back to the spiritual world and she became Krishna's nurse in the spiritual world. She was, a nurse is considered one of the seven mothers. Imagine, a rakshasa, wicked, cruel. She used to, you know, kill children and eat them, eat children alive. Such a low-class demon.